skies smiling at me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. Blue birds singing a song. Nothing but blue skies from now on.
Welcome to Live Well with Cantwell. Stay tuned for a different slant on local to global issues that are impacting your life. Here now is Pauline Cantwell.
Good morning, and thank you for joining in again this morning to Live Well with Cantwell. We have Rosalind Peterson with California Skywatch and Agriculture Defense Coalition with us again this morning. She's from California, and she's with us most weeks. Good morning, Rosalind.
Good morning.
Thank you for getting up early again and being with us today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I know you've been dealing with an issue of Colorado ranchers, and so you want to discuss that issue today, and we want to talk a little bit about, I want to go back to the fluoride issue. I went to the town hall meeting here last week that the League of Women Voters sponsored, and I brought up the fluoride issue because the government has lowered the limits. Now, and Rosalind, you're very aware of all this. I just ran across another article this weekend listing the things that fluoride does. It's so dangerous that even the CDC now warns against consumption by infants. They warn you not to use your tap water to mix baby formula. So I did want to alert the audience. I have seen pediatric bottled water with fluoride in it. So be careful. Causes brain damage and lowered IQ, lowers thyroid function. It inhibits formation of antibodies. It damages sperm and increases infertility. It inactivates 62 enzymes. Causes arthritis, disrupts the synthesis of collagen, has been linked to fracturing, hairline fractures and bones. So I just wanted to tell people that in New York City, Council Member Peter Vallone has introduced legislation on January 18th, quote, prohibiting the addition of fluoride to the water supply, unquote, in New York City. This is very important. There is a fluoride action network worldwide. I will be... U.S. and Canada. I'll be posting that on my website. And the ensuing debate in New York should have major significance for the efforts of this group. It is mandated by Connecticut to put fluoride in our water, and the representative from Aquarian Water said he would prefer not to put it in. It is a poison. So I hope that some of you will get engaged in trying to change the law, get one of our representatives to introduce it at the state level and get it out of our drinking water here in Connecticut. So, Rosalind, let's go into Haiti. We want to talk about 1 year after the earthquake. Corporations profit while people suffer. Only 2% of the aid money has gotten to the people. And you wanted to talk about the Colorado ranchers and what's going on out there. So why don't we start with the Colorado ranchers and then wrap up with the Haiti issue, okay?
Yes. What's going on in Colorado and other states as well? This is not just Colorado ranchers, but it's engaged in other states. Is that Colorado ranchers are being deprived of due process of law, their constitutional rights, and what is happening is that ranchers. We believe in order to get them off their lands, get their water rights, in other words, it's almost like land theft in a way, but many ranchers and horse breeders and others are finding themselves all of a sudden one day in court. They get arrested. The animals on their ranches, their horses, their dogs, cats, anything now can be impounded. And that before they know what happens, the animals are sold, and many of the ranchers are not ever going to get their money back from the sale or the proceeds or their animals, even if they are found not guilty in a court of law. And while they're in jail, the first thing the sheriff does is go out and arrest them. Then their animals are impounded. The next thing they have to do is that they're not read their rights. They're held in jail for a period of time in some cases. And then what happens to them in this process is that they are told that they have to put up money for the feeding and care of their animals. The animals aren't left on their property so that they could be taken care of in that location. They're moved to another location for, most of the time, sale. The money then is kept by local government officials and others, and even if they're not convicted of any crime, what happens is that these animals are then sold, sometimes at cheap prices, other times at full value, because they're breeding animals, they're bulls, they're stallions, all kinds of different animals in Colorado. And in Colorado, the other issue is that the lands and the water rights of these ranchers, it looks like there's going to be a takeover of their lands, because what they do is they make sure that the ranchers are never able to have animals again for buying or selling. They're put out of business. They're told they won't be prosecuted if they move to another state. Therefore, they're unable to maintain their lands, pay the taxes, keep up their grazing rights, etc. So it's a huge land takeover, and it's a huge profit-making motive by the Colorado various government agencies to collect money that doesn't belong to them and retain it, even if the landowner is not found guilty of any criminal charges. Now, with uranium mining opening up in Colorado, natural gas drilling opening up, oil drilling, water needed for those entities, a lot of the ranchers are finding themselves almost being evicted from their lands because someone intends to make a whole lot of money because of federal government policies now, which are giving out licenses for uranium mining. They're giving out licenses for natural gas drilling, and there's a huge amount of money to be made. And one way you can get ranchers and farmers off their land is to make sure that they aren't able to pay their taxes or make a living or require that they leave the state unless they're going to be prosecuted. And this is a horrible situation. Now, the other thing that's coming together here is that the weather modifications programs in Colorado and surrounding states are also impacting many of the ranchers because they have too much snow. They're sometimes unable to get in and to feed their livestock, requiring our government, actually, to fly in food sometimes to the animals. It's a horrible situation that's happening to them there, and it's going to raise the price of cattle and the beef we eat, but also it's going to impact agriculture in Colorado. So with this shift of, in other words, big mining, big oil industries moving into Colorado and other surrounding states, why there's land grabs going on here, which is just awful. And one of the bills that's going to be applicable to all of this is going to be in the Colorado State Legislature for a vote today, which would absolutely make it almost impossible for anyone who has their animals impounded to be able to maintain them or to ever get them back again. And this bill it's a state Senate bill, 11009, and it was introduced by Jane Ritter. And the Senate sponsorship is Guzman Stedman and a man by the name of Fisher. And what's happening is that this bill is going to be critical to whether family ranchers and farmers can maintain their lands, their horses, And it's a big land grab in Colorado. And so I want to let you know that if you see the price of your beef going up, it's because many of these ranchers and farmers are being put out of business in order to use their have their water rights and to steal their lands for these mining activities.
Well, thank you for all your work, Rosalind. And if anyone is concerned about this, check with Rosalind's website, agriculturedefensecoalition.org. Is that right, Rosalind?
Yes, and there's a section at the top of the page which says Colorado issues, and some of the laws and some of these issues are explained in detail on the site as of today.
Okay, and I want to tell our local listeners here in Greenwich and further parts of Connecticut and New York that Connecticut issues are on your website, agriculturedefensecoalition.org. It's at the top of the page, and it has the water reports for 8 years here in Connecticut, which showed very high levels of fluoride in some towns, up to 7.4 or something. And the current levels that the government's recommending now are 0.7. So this is worth looking at what they're testing, what they're not testing. So let's move on to Haiti. And we know that Baby Doc Duvalier has returned to Haiti, probably to get the money, because the Swiss government put forth what was known as the a bill just to keep him from getting money from there. So he had to return to Haiti in order to lay claim to this vast amount of money. He's 59 years old, and he is the lifetime president of Haiti. Had to get papers from somebody to come into there. And so you're looking at between $400 million and $900 million from Haiti, which he looted, and none of it's been recovered. And this new law would mean that it would go back to Haiti and be used for the Haitian people. But by returning there, he can claim that he was there, they didn't arrest him, and therefore the money's his. So it's very interesting. So 1 year after Haiti, the Secretary General of the United Nations has come out with a plea for people not to forget about Haiti. And I know Americans have spent a lot of money sent to charities. Former President Bush and Clinton both have been calling for more money in their foundation. And so I want to talk about the corruption in that nobody has cleared the rubble, because nonprofit groups say people don't donate money for things like clearing the rubble. They donate money to give food and to provide water. But unless you clear the rubble, you can't build. So there's been no building done. The sidewalks are covered with rubble. Everything is pretty much the way it was a year ago. And now cholera has been introduced. And I did speak to a gentleman at the UN after lunch last week. I met him, and he had just gotten back from Haiti, and he was telling me about conditions on the ground. And he was saying the cholera was introduced from the Nepalese peacekeeping soldiers who came over, and there had been an outbreak of cholera in Nepal. And so some of these soldiers obviously had it, and the wastewater went down into the stream where the people drank, and so that's where this broke out. So we have disease, we have hunger. There was a briefing at the United Nations for non-government people Thursday, January 13th, and they talked about conditions on the ground, and the World Food Organization was saying they're only distributing food through schools. And people in the audience raised their hands, and they said, I'm working with people in areas that the schools have been closed. How do they get food? Food isn't being distributed. And she answered, food is being distributed through the schools. That's the only way we're distributing at this point. So there's a real, used to, they were just handing food out to people, but they're not doing that anymore. And so Naomi Klein exposed evidence that within 24 hours of the earthquake, the influential right-wing think tank, the Heritage Foundation, was already laying plans to use the disaster as an attempt to further privatize the country's economy. And that's what Bill Clinton and George Bush's fund is wanting to do. They want long-term rebuilding. plans. This gentleman I talked to said there is oil there. There's vast amounts of oil. There's oil between Cuba and Haiti. And, of course, our oil people cannot drill off Cuba because of our Cuban restrictions. So he was saying, you know, the people know there's oil there, and they want some of the they want it developed, and they want some of the money that would come from it. But it's all being set up. There's a thing called disaster capitalism. And this is all being done where money is being funneled to certain corporations and certain nonprofit groups to make sure that it is set up in a way that benefits the United States and other countries. And so they can take the benefits from it, much like we do in Africa and other places in the world. So, Roslyn, what do you want to talk about this? Washington did take control of the elections, and they canceled the January runoff, so the elections are in limbo. Now we have baby Doc Duvalier back in town, and we have a militarization of the emergency aid to Haiti. So is it a humanitarian operation or is it an invasion? Global Research wrote, I've got a paper from them, January 15th. Do you want to offer some ideas on this, Roslyn?
Well, yes. I think that with the Clinton-Bush Foundation not giving the money that people gave to them for Haiti, the Clinton-Bush administration did not make any restrictions, nor do a lot of agencies, on what the money is to be spent for. And so where the Clinton-Bush Foundation could have been helping to rebuild Haiti, clean up, in other words, the debris and the rubble, they're hanging on to the money. Imagine cholera epidemic, and imagine many agencies. But for Clinton and Bush to be on the television, even this year, 2011, asking for more money, they haven't spent the money they have, and what do they need the money for? Why are they keeping it and drawing interest on it instead of taking it to Haiti, in other words, and getting the food to the people, getting the drinking water supplies cleaned up, putting in new roads, cleaning up the rubble, putting it into housing? This is incredible. And a lot of
I agree with you, Roslyn. I went to their website last week because I was planning to talk about this last week, but didn't have time. But they've taken in, as of December 31st, 2010, they've taken in $53 million in donations. And I just added up manually. I didn't get out my adding machine. But I could see possibly $8 million that's been distributed to various organizations. These are foundations. These are different groups. Most of them I'd never heard of. And I've worked at the UN since 94, so I know your main organizations. But they've shifted some of the money over to these foundations that are not accountable. Or, you know, they may not be accountable. And only 2% overall of the money donated has gotten to the Haitian people for actual relief. So,
well, this is, and the United States and other countries have not provided the money either that was supposed to go and promised to Haiti either. And so I question now, in other words, the motives of those that are collecting funds at this point, since they aren't spending the funds in some cases. And also, we don't know where these funds are going, and they certainly aren't going to Haiti, because you look at the country now, even recent press reports in the country now show a Haiti that looks almost as devastated as it was right after the earthquake in some cases, and people are still living in tents and suffering and dying. And so I question this. And then you've got Duvalier coming back to Haiti. We don't know whether it's to try and run the government as a dictatorship under our control, because the U.S. and France both had to know that Duvalier asked for a visa to go to Haiti.
Yes,
and,
you can't travel.
And so, in other words, and he wants to open up the bank accounts and get all the money that was stowed away when he was evicted from the country before. So I look at this as corruption first class, and I think we should challenge and really say, before we give any more money, just why isn't the money being spent to take care of the problems of Haiti? What's the holdup here?
Yes, I think everybody should go to the websites, go to the Bush-Clinton website and look at it, look at what's happening there, and go to the different websites and see what's happening and examine. This gentleman at the UN pleaded for me to go there. He said, "You have a kind heart." He said, "Go there and see the people." And, you know, I can't go there right now, but I would like to. But it is heartbreaking. I mean, these people are so poor. And we have a long history of military intervention in Haiti. In 1994, we sent in 20,000 occupation troops. And they remained, U.S. and allied troops remained until 99. And it's been under U.N. control since then. And the Haitian Armed Forces were disbanded. And U.S. State Department hired a mercenary company, DynCorp, to provide, quote, technical advice in restructuring the Haitian National Police. And then in 2004, there was a coup d'etat. So there's a long history of corruption and control by the powerful countries there. So there are wealth there. It is under Southcom command, U.S. military command. And after Katrina, the U.S. is under Northcom command, military command. The military of our government took control of the relief operations after Katrina. And the U.S. is not supposed to be under military command. So these things are very applicable to us with all the weather disasters happening all over. And I don't think any of us would want to wake up and be under control of military or these private military groups like Blackwater. So I think we need to look at all this and be aware. And there is a militarization of civil society relief organizations. And real question about some of these, but I asked the gentleman, is the U.S. military still there? And he said they're very low-key right now. And I actually asked that question in the briefing, and nobody could answer me. How many soldiers are still there from what countries? And most of the briefing was on domestic violence, rape of women in these camps, and things like that, but nobody really answered that. So I think we need to know. From day one, we sent in 10,000 troops immediately. And I don't know how many troops are still there, U.S. troops. But we have Marine Special Forces, intelligence operatives, and then the private mercenary forces, which are totally unaccountable to we, the citizens of the country, or us, the citizens, to us. And so, Rosalind, I just think that the Haiti, they appeal to our kindness as Americans to donate money to these events that happen with increasing frequency. And I think we also have to question, why has Haiti been hit with hurricane after hurricane and Dominican Republic on the same island has not been hit? And this earthquake was so strategically located to knock out the government that it is suspicious. A lot of people have been looking at HAARP as the cause of that earthquake. So I think we have to realize that the military can hide behind the skirts of Mother Nature and then frame themselves as relief workers. So I think it's a dangerous, slippery slope.
Well, also, in other words, the President Aristide, who was elected by the people, the military, our military, came in, the Navy, came in and evicted him to South America and won't let him return. And I found this to be something that we're intervening in other countries as well. And I think Aristide should be allowed to go back to Haiti. I don't think that the U.S. military should have been engaged in removing him from Haiti because he was the president of the country. So all of these things in Haiti are quite questionable at this time. And I think that we should question when we're asked for disaster funds, even though we're good humanitarians, just to say, where's the money going and where did it go? Because we know that the Red Cross had money. There were so many organizations collecting money. And now I think that when we give to organizations that are not accountable, like the Bush-Clinton Fund, I think that we should definitely question those.
I do, too. And the Red Cross actually took a lot of blood after 9/11 and just dumped it out. They kept pleading for more blood and money. And they weren't accountable on where the money was spent. But I think we have to be more sophisticated and more aware of the real workings behind the scene. So I know that Duvalier has been living in France in a very low-style living, close to poverty, since a costly divorce. And the Swiss Supreme Court ordered at least $4.6 million of the fortune be ordered and given to him, saying that the statute of limitations had run out, but on the very same day the earthquake hit. And so that's why he's in this limbo. Otherwise, he would have had $4.6 million. So we have a minute left to wrap up, and I want to thank people. We've been talking about fluoride in the water. I would love for people in Connecticut to form a group, and I will post this anti-fluoride group that you can get in touch with. But check New York City and what's happening there, and let's get that poison out of our water. Rosalind, let's say bye, and we've talked about Haiti and the farmers.
Yes, and I will see you on the radio next week.
Thanks. I'll see you, too.
Thank you for listening to Live Well with Cantwell. We hope this show will have inspired you to get involved with the issues. Let's make this world a cleaner, brighter place for us and our children. Let's get our blue skies back.
Nothing but blue skies from now on.